All right, good people of Winnipeg, welcome to Riding with the Queen. I'm your host, Rami Mays. And today, as promised on Riding with the Queen, I am going to tribute this next hour to one of the most formative bands in rock history, a band that just recently lost its last surviving key member, the last surviving key member, and one of my favorite rock bands of all time, Motorhead. So when I started writing the show, I just found that there was never going to be enough time in 1 hour to cover all that was Motorhead. And so I decided to do a two-part series. So welcome to part one of my two-part series of my tribute to Motorhead. Formed in 1975 by frontman Ian Lemmy Kilmister, Motorhead re-energized heavy metal in the late 1970s and early 80s. Though Lemmy was the first to say they weren't metal and were a straight-up rock and roll band, they did bring to life the power of heavy rock and metal and inspired many bands to do the same. Many different musicians filled the lineup behind Lemmy, but their best-selling albums and the most famous lineup came from the trio that was Lemmy, Fast Eddie Clark, and Phil Filthy Animal Taylor on drums. On January 10th, just a couple weeks back, we lost Eddie Clark, which put the presence of Motorhead to rest and now just becomes legendary. In 75, Lemmy was arrested for drug possession up here in our home in Atlanta, Canada. So he was fired from a band that he was in, a band called Hawkwind. The final song he wrote for Hawkwind inspired the name for his next band, and the song was actually called Motorhead. So I know it's a little early to start music in the show without the story really unfolding, but let's just get there. Let's start the show from the start, as I love to do, and let's hear the song called Motorhead from Hawkwind here on 101.5 UMFM. Welcome to Riding with the Queen. Today on the show, we are featuring and paying tribute to the metal rock and roll band Motorhead. And you've joined at an amazing time, if you just joined us, because we're just about to dive into the beginnings of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time. After leaving Hawkwind, Lemmy wanted his next band to be fast and vicious. I believe the quote from Lemmy was, "If we move next door, your lawn would die." That's awesome. At first for the lineup, Lemmy recruited Larry Walls on electric guitar, formerly of the band Pink Fairies, and Lucas Fox on drums. Because they didn't have the gear they needed to rehearse, they would often just steal gear. I suppose that's an option. I don't know if they got caught very often, but I think that that's a good option. You don't have the gear, go get it. Shortly after their first couple gigs, they were asked to support Blue Oyster Cult, and the road to Motorhead, as we know them, had begun. After some initial recordings in Wales, they got rid of the drummer they had at the time and brought on Phil Filthy Animal Taylor. Surprisingly, the recordings they made weren't received well by the record label they were on. So in 76, they decided to go with two guitar players, and this was when they brought on Fast Eddie Clark. Fast Eddie, he would quit the Pink Fairies and now be at home with Motorhead. And at the time, they recorded the album Leaving Here, but they were still under contract with their previous label and were not allowed to release it. But my favorite part of the story at this point is to tell you that they were received by audiences so unfavorably that in a popular rock magazine of the time called NME, they were literally voted the best worst band in the world. I think that's awesome. I would love to be the best worst band in the world. That's something. I think if you were once dubbed that ever in your life, you're absolutely destined to become the once worst best band in the world and inevitably, eventually, the best band in the world. Because you can't suck that bad for that long. Really, I guess, if you're trying to get better. So, before we move on to when Motorhead stopped living in squalor and broke out of their best worst band title, let's hear some more tunes. We'll spin Pink Fairies. And we'll hear some Blue Oyster Cult, but don't worry, I'm not going to play the cowbell favorite. And an early Motorhead track from the original and denied recording of Leaving Here from 1977, here on Riding with the Queen.
We'll be right back. could be.
Yeah.
chicks will be gone. Cause I'm leaving.
The original 7-inch version, they're leaving here by Motorhead. Pretty staticky, pretty distorted. I like it. Hope it didn't rip your ears off. In 1977, Taylor and Clark thought it was perhaps time to leave the band, but with one farewell show to leave with. The supposed farewell show actually led to a demo recording offer at Escape Studios with producer Speedy Keen, which ended up being a full album recording, actually. And then there was slight success with the album and tour in the UK. By 1978, Taylor and Clark once again thought about leaving the band, and they formed another band called The Muggers. And I found an old bootleg of The Muggers, so we'll check that out in a bit here for sure. Later that year, Taylor and Clark came back to Motorhead to be together again under new management, and Motorhead was once more. They recorded Luai Luai, and it hit the charts. Their contract was extended, and they were back in the studio recording the well-known Motorhead album Overkill. Interestingly enough, for music geeks like me, it was also notable that Taylor used two bass drums instead of one. So now when you listen to it, maybe you can listen for that and geek out with me a little bit. Okay, so we are into the late 70s, and it looks like Motorhead may make some waves after all. This is a good spot to take another music break with some of the Muggers from these old tape recordings I found. And then we'll hear the song that qualified them in the record label's eyes. The song originally written by Richard Berry called Luai Luai, Luai Luai, or Louie Louie. Yeah, here on 101.5 UMFM.
Okay, thanks very much. Come on, another good nightmare. We'll be right back.
Thanks for joining me today on Riding with the Queen. I'm your humble host, Rami Mays, hoping each week we learn a little bit about rock and roll history, one or two facts, and one or two songs at a time. Today I'm paying tribute to Motorhead, and we are now approaching the 1980s, when Ace of Spades and Iron Fist were the next albums on the menu. And the band followed the success of Ace of Spades with the Ace Up Your Sleeve tour. We'll definitely spin Ace of Spades coming up, as it truly is considered like one of the anthems of the band. And if you're tuning in and you haven't heard it by now, now's your time to get familiar with Motorhead. To follow up Ace of Spades, they self-produced their next album, Iron Fist. Unfortunately, these were the two last releases to maintain the trio lineup of Lemmy, Taylor, and Clark. And it's funny because as the story unfolds, it always sounds like Taylor and Clark left the band. And it's like they always did, but they just couldn't help but come back. Eventually, though, they did finally say this is the last time type of thing, but at this point, yeah, this was the last two releases to maintain that trio lineup, and there are so many albums and so many tours and so much history that it's so hard to squeeze it all into this 1 hour. That's why I'm doing the two-part series. This is the first part of Motorhead Tribute. I should quickly shoot you through the albums here. They went through Departure, Another Perfect Day, and No Remorse, which happened over the next couple years. And on a side note, Clark was against recording. They recorded a version of Tammy Wynette's classic song, Stand By Your Man, and Clark was so against it. And apparently this was a huge driving force for his departure from the band. But the good news is that Eddie then formed his own band called Fastway, which created some very cool recordings. For a stint to fill in the blank, Thin Lizzy's guitar player Brian Robertson played with Motorhead for a while on some tours. So let's get back right into tunes. We're obviously going to kick this off with Ace of Spades, which is truly, an epic Motorhead song. And then follow that up with a track by Eddie Clark's band Fastway called Say What You Will, where you can really hear as a guitar player what he brought to Motorhead. And to finish the music set, we'll hear a Thin Lizzy hit to honor Brian Robertson's time in the band here on 101.5 UMFM. We'll be right back.
But that's the way I like it, baby. I don't want to live forever. And don't forget the Joker. We'll be right back.
somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it, so we're getting up and going down. High to low, looking right to left. If you see us coming, I think it's best to move away. Do you hear what I say from under my breath? Some of us won't survive. See, the boys and me mean business, busting out dead or alive. I can hear the hound dogs on my trail. All hell breaks loose, alarm and sirens wail. Like a game, if you lose, go to jail. Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in the town.
So here we are now in the mid 80s, and Motorhead was about to find themselves without a guitar player again, even though they liked Brian Robertson. Apparently his attire consisted of shorts and ballet shoes on stage, and that caused friction in the band. But I think even more so, his refusal to play the Eddie Clark parts of the Motorhead hits that the fans really wanted to hear and the label really wanted them to play. He was kind of not into that. So they let him go. So sorting through many offers for the Motorhead guitar player position, the band decided to stick with the idea of two guitar players, and they hired Wurzel and Phil Campbell, formerly of a band called Persian Risk. But shortly after, drummer Taylor then bowed out, kind of again. And the famous quote from Lemmy was, "Did I leave them or did they leave me?" Replacing Taylor was Pete Gill of the UK metal band Saxon. With this lineup and the label wanted only hits revisited for the new recordings, Lemmy managed, though, to convince them to record the tune Killed by Death, which did top some charts. By the late 1980s, following so many court cases they were dealing with and with their labels, and they fired and hired managers and they fired and hired producers. Some would say they were hard to work with, but I guess if you have your vision, you know, you have to figure that out. Some American touring they did as well. And then the band released the albums Orgasmatron and Rock and Roll. They toured steadily and played major festivals like Monsters of Rock and Giants of Rock. And Taylor did make another cameo return once along the way, once Pete Gill left the band. And though things were looking up, they found themselves in further court cases fighting for what their vision was and relative wavering success. So let's take a music break here and hear one of my favorite tracks from Orgasmatron called Nothing Up My Sleeve, and then Killed by Death in honor of Lemmy's stubbornness to keep them somewhat successfully in their vein in on the charts. Here on Ride with the Queen, here's some more Motorhead for you.
You're here, and then you disappear. This ain't the first time I've
killed by death. I guess that's pretty much the only way to go. I don't know. I really wish I did have more time today because we're nearing the end of my hour here and I feel like I haven't even touched the story of Motorhead. So as I mentioned before, it's going to have to be a two-part series. Next week, I will do part two of Motorhead, and today we'll finish up with some early 90s Motorhead when they signed to Epic WTG, and not WTF, and they're working with producer Ed Stasium, who worked with bands like Ramones and Talking Heads. They ended up firing him after recording four tracks because Lemmy heard some claves and tambourines buried into the tracks without their permission. Stasium's story, though, is that Lemmy's drug and alcohol addiction drove him to quit. They're both plausible, but I really like the idea of firing Stasium better due to tambourines buried in Motorhead songs. They released the single, The One to Sing the Blues, and then the album 1916 followed. And now they were touring with bands like Alice Cooper, Metal Church, and Judas Priest. There is a quote out there that has Lemmy saying that Motorhead have more in common aesthetically with bands like The Damned over Black Sabbath, and nothing whatsoever in common with Judas Priest. I guess he just felt like he had little kinship with the speed metal bands that Motorhead seemed to be inspiring. In 1992, Taylor played his last official show, or so it seemed, because I had said that like 40 times in the show today, in the studio. His last official show with Motorhead. And then also in the studio, they were recording the album March or Die. So even though Taylor was one of the drummers, he refused to learn the drum parts for certain songs and then was officially let go, fired, left. So I do believe that was Taylor's last contribution. Enter Tommy Aldridge, and more importantly, enter Mickey D, who each took on the role of drummer for the sessions. On a side note, too, just for fun there, if you wanted to know, on the album March or Die, Ozzy Osbourne and Slash both make appearances on that album as well. So I would like to think that this is probably a good place to leave the show for today. Mickey D coming into the picture was the beginning of another era for Motorhead. And on a side note, as of late, interestingly enough, Mickey D is drumming for the Scorpions nowadays, which is kind of cool. So let's finish today's show with the sort of the closure of Taylor and the beginning of Mickey D and a few more Motorhead tracks from the early 90s. And we can continue the journey from 1992 onward. Same time, same station next week, 1 to 2 p.m. Sunday on 101.5 FM. Here's some more Motorhead for you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next week, you've been riding with the Queen. Yeah!
Satan.